Hi there. I'm Bob, producer of the Odyssey Adventure Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Adventures in Odyssey Clubhouse Magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Coming up, we'll be talking to a couple writer-directors, John Fornoff and Bob Vernon.
But first, here's the latest news. Happy birthday to the Odyssey Adventure Club. The club turned 1 year old this week. Congratulations to everyone who worked on the club or joined in the first year.
Thanks, Jess. We wanted to celebrate our first year by giving a few gifts to our listeners. So if you sign up for the club in the month of January and use the promo code BIRTHDAY, we'll send you 3 Last Chance Detectives audio dramas.
Oh, cool.
And a poster featuring signatures of the Adventures in Odyssey cast and crew. And your first month is still only $5.
You know, if you're not familiar with Last Chance Detectives, it's a video series and an audio series set in the small desert town of Ambrosia. The detectives are a group of 4 kids who have some exciting adventures solving mysteries.
To find out more, let's talk to 2 people who were involved in creating that series, Bob Vernon and John Fornoff.
Well, I'm super excited about this interview because Last Chance Detectives was one of the first things I worked on when I started at Focus, and it was actually a cover story in Breakaway magazine, 1994.
Wow.
So we have John Fornoff in studio and Bob Vernon on the phone today. So this is a technological miracle as well. Let's start off with Bob. Bob, our listeners might not know that Last Chance Detectives began as a series of movies for Focus on the Family Films. So tell us how that series started.
Well, this goes back to the early 90s, and I was working as a producer for Focus on the Family at the time, and we had a home video market that was a thriving business model back then, and there was a show called McGee and Me.
Oh, yeah.
And it was doing really well, and Focus was involved in it, and that was winding down to an end. And one of the things that I saw always as kind of a main staple in kids' fiction was mystery stories,
mm-hmm.
The Hardy Boys and Sugar Creek Gang and that kind of stuff. And that came up with the Last Chance Detectives.
You know, Bob, one of the things that a series like this has is that thread that goes through the individual episodes that ties them together. And one of the ways you did that was you began each episode by telling some of the backstory of the detectives, including the story of Mike's dad. How much of that did you plot out before the series ever started?
We plotted out a lot. I would do complete sheets of backstories of each character before I would really go into writing a story, so I kind of knew what I was writing about. I just felt very strongly about that. Probably the more challenging thing was always to try to find that great theme that we would do. I would say the series theme, just as it is a mystery series is a search for the truth, that was the exact same thing that we kept coming back to as far as our thematic themes of what is true. And so we had Mike given this compass in the video series from his dad, and that compass was the way that he would always find true north and guide him through murky times. And so those were kind of the ways we went after it thematically.
You know, not only did you write the series, but you also directed one of the episodes, Legend of the Desert Bigfoot. So how long does it take to shoot a half-hour film like that, and what was the most exciting part for you during that filming?
Well, let me just make one minor correction. They were actually 44 minutes, which was an hour.
Oh, that's true.
A television hour is where we would put that, sometimes up to 48 minutes. And when you did a show of about that long, we would do those in 10 days. And that was really tough to do because we were on location. This is not something that we did on a back lot or somewhere just here in Los Angeles in our backyard. We had to travel all the way to Arizona, find all the sets. We had to bring in a B-17 bomber.
So cool.
To be one of our big set pieces. We had to build a diner, and we had to build a diner in a way that we could pull a B-17 up to it. Now, you can't very well build a diner just anywhere and have a B-17 roll up to it. I mean, you couldn't bring that up a street and land in a street. So what we did was we actually built a diner on an airport.
Mm.
And then we built a street all in front of it, put up light posts and other you know, little different buildings. We had some small buildings in the distance that we made on a very small scale, so it looked like the road continued to go out there and there was other parts of a town. It was actually just a landing strip in Kingman, Arizona.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of effort, and yet the series only ran for 3 episodes. Why is that?
I think it was just a Focus at the time. It was a very expensive show to do. And I think Focus at the time shifted their focus of their ministry and wanted to find another way that perhaps other people could bring money and take the series off, and that just never took off.
So did you think that there would be a revival of the series at some point?
Yes, I mean, so much so that we even wrote a bunch of other scripts. We even did a feature-length script for Last Chance Detectives.
Okay.
But for various reasons, those never moved forward.
Well, John Fornoff, let's get you in on this conversation, too. You know, about 10 years after the video series, Last Chance Detectives did come back. It came back as an audio series. What led to the decision to reinvent Last Chance Detectives, and what was your role in that?
Oh, sure. Well, the thought was we had this great video series, and we wanted to kickstart it, get it going again, get people interested in it again. So the idea was, why don't we do, rather than starting a whole new series of videos, let's start with audio, which is a lot more inexpensive to start off with. And let's see if that audio series can maybe kick off the video series again and maybe start launch it as a franchise, which is a brilliant idea. So we were talking about this, and I remember thinking about this. Marshall Younger was going to, I think he was going to produce it, but it was about 6 weeks before we were supposed to record or whatever. And I was thinking, you know, is anybody working on this show, because we're supposed to do this thing, you know? And Paul said, well, come to think of it, well, why don't you do it? It was almost like that. And he says, would you like to produce it? And I said, sure. He says, well, you've got 6 weeks. And we had 12 shows to outline, write, and produce in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Okay. And normally it would take, you know, gently a month to 6 weeks to outline a show, write it, rewrite it, go through all the first draft, second draft, polish, all that. It took about 4 or 6 weeks. So we did 12 shows. Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's just crazy.
Like, just crazy. So Paul says, okay, you're the producer. So it's like, oh man. So, got Marshall involved. Marshall came back, so got him writing. And of course, I wanted to go back to the guy that started it all. You know, I want to get Bob involved. So I called Bob up, and we've been working on some other stuff too. And I just love working with Bob. He's a great guy. And so he came on board, and we got it going.
Wow, Bob, yeah. What are your memories of those days?
Well, I didn't know any better. It was all completely news to me. I mean, I thought you guys always wrote that fast. So when John came to me and said, hey, listen, we're going to crank out a bunch of episodes real fast, I was like, oh, okay, I guess they do this all the time this fast. Okay. And it was a great time. I mean, it was a great back and forth to be able to work with guys that knew story so well, and be able to come back and work with the characters that we'd created before and have them bring them back to life again.
Wow. Now, listeners probably don't know, but there are several well-known actors who lend their voices to the show. So who are they?
Well, a couple of the more well-known people. Remember the show Spy Kids? Daryl Sabara, who was he played one of the characters there. And June Lockhart. Now this will hit the baby boomers. She was with Lassie and with Lost in Space. And so we just wanted some name people kind of give it some kick. Anyway, we had a great cast.
Wow.
Well, our fans definitely recognize another voice, particularly in that first episode. You decided to make a connection between Adventures in Odyssey and The Last Chance Detectives by having Jason Whitaker show up in the first audio episode.
Yes.
Why did you decide to do that?
Well, we were going to air this. Originally, the plan was we're going to air it on all the Odyssey stations, which would be huge. And so we wanted to make a you know, people are used to listening to Odyssey. And so we wanted to get people like, oh, this is Jason from Odyssey. And he's, oh, and just kind of make that transition there and work really well. I mean, Townsend was just awesome to work with.
You know, all the video and audio episodes are now available in the Odyssey Adventure Club. So give listeners a few Easter eggs that maybe they can watch or listen for in these episodes.
Sure. In the video series, one of the things that this was at the very beginning of digital effects.
Okay.
And we got all the way down into the very final. We'd edited the show. We'd done all the sound effects work, and we were down just doing the very last step. That was video sweetening. And the guy that's running the console up in the front says, is looking at the picture, and this is a scene where the Last Chance Detectives are off, you know, 30 miles from anybody out of this abandoned mine. And he says, hey, who's that guy standing out there? And we all look. Well, there's a crew member standing in the distance with holding a cup of coffee. It got that far before we saw it. And we couldn't go back and change everything, so we had to digitally erase him. If you look for when the Last Chance detectives first get to that mine, and there's a cut of Mike as they just pull in, you'll see a little what looks like a mirage glistening in the distance.
Okay.
That's where we digitally erased the crew member that was not supposed to be there.
That's a great one.
And then finally on the third episode, Escape from Fire Lake, if you know, that's where Mike and his dog, Jake, get lost out in the desert and get abandoned in the desert. And one of the problems when you're working with animals in the desert is we, as you know, walk through the desert, we have shoes on. Well, you put a dog in the middle of this burning, blistering desert, and this was shot in Baker, California. The temperatures were 118 degrees, I think, the day we were out there.
Wow.
It was extremely hot. So if you'll notice, Jake, if you look closely, you'll see that we crafted little tiny boots for him to wear that were just tied at the bottom of his shoes so he wouldn't burn his feet, because a dog couldn't really be walking around out there in, on that hot of sand. It's kind of a fun thing to look for.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, John, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. And Bob, on the phone there, this was a lot of fun going down memory lane with you guys today. So thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.
It was a kick.
You can stream all of those audio and video episodes on the Odyssey Adventure Club right now. And don't forget that the audio episodes can be yours to keep if you sign up for the club this month. That promo code, again, is BIRTHDAY.
Bob, what else is going on in the club right now?
Well, this month we've got a brand new episode called Follow Me. Let's hear a preview of that one now.
This month, only on the Odyssey Adventure Club, have you ever wondered what Jesus' disciples were like as children? Meet James.
There's no such thing as studying enough, John.
Simon.
Where is the Messiah he promised would deliver us?
And John.
The Messiah. He will shine like the sun with the glory of God. That's how we'll know him.
It's a chapter from the Book of Speculations. That's this month, only in the Odyssey Adventure Club.
That sounds like an unusual but fun episode. I like opening the Book of Speculations, and I understand that we hear you as a centurion in this episode.
Believe it or not, I actually got to voice two centurions this year on the club. The other's in a BTV episode.
Two centurions. So are you afraid you're being typecast now, Bob?
Are you kidding? I'm glad to be cast at all.
Well, we'll keep listening for that. And in other news, don't forget to vote in the Avery Awards for The Ties That Bind. Thousands of you have already voted, but several of the categories are still really close.
Yeah, and as we've learned from Adventures in Odyssey, a single vote can make a difference.
So true. The polls will be closing soon, so cast your vote today at witsend.org.
And finally today, the new year is often a time that families start having daily devotions together. If you're looking for some help, you can check out the books Mealtime Devotions or 90 Devotions for Kids. They're both available at our website. Or, of course, you can always join the club. We have a new devotional every day based on a classic Odyssey episode.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
Visit witsend.org to find out more about the Odyssey Adventure Club, Last Chance Detectives, or those great devotional books. Or call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.